You know, it's so interesting. I like the fact that in this song, they asked to be delivered from Egypt, and they also asked to be delivered to the promised land. Don't be frightened.
I have nothing I can give but this chance that you may live. I pray.
I tell you, sometimes you have to really just cry out to the Lord and let him know you're in anguish. That's what David and so many other psalmists did. They let it be known to God that they were in anguish. They were frustrated. They were anxious. And I know that Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests unto God. Yes, we absolutely have to do that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's from the New International Version. And, you know, that's true. And that's how we avoid letting anxiety overwhelm us. There are going to be times when we may experience some anxiety, but we don't allow it to stay. We don't allow it to overwhelm us because we go to God. We present to God our requests regarding whatever it is that has us beginning to experience anxiety, that has us feeling anxious. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, not just going through the motions, but allowing ourselves, sometimes even forcing ourselves to believe that God is not only hearing us, but he is going to respond by saying, okay, I got you. As Pharaoh approached, something I want to share with you. This is so significant. You may recall that I shared with you previously that when God was dealing with the frogs, you know, he had the frogs, he had the locusts, he had the water turned to blood. He had so many things happening in Egypt when he was plaguing the nation of Egypt, including darkness. I mean, he hit them with so many things. And you may recall that I was sharing with you that each time God hit Egypt with the frog. I mean, I'm sorry, not with a frog, but with a plague. The gnats, the flies, etc. The hail. He was actually confronting their gods. The demons that they considered to have been in control of all that was happening. There was a god that controlled the frogs. There was a god that controlled the flies. There was a god that they worshiped. All these gods were false gods, demons, if you will, that the Egyptians worshiped as their gods. The plague of boils that hit their bodies. God was showing them every time God sent these plagues, these flies, these huge, overwhelming swarms of flies, these overwhelming swarms of gnats, these overwhelming amounts of frogs, etc. God would send them and just devastate the Egyptians with them and then make them all leave, even if it meant making all the frogs die off at his will, when he was ready to make them die off, when he was ready to make them leave. God was showing the Egyptians that his wisdom and his power were absolutely superior to the power of their gods. And now, notice, he tells Moses to have his people camp by Baal Zephon, to camp opposite Baal Zephon. Now, here's why I'm emphasizing this to you. Something that is very, very interesting about this God, awesome and mighty God, showing who he is. Baal Zephon literally means Lord of the North. Lord of the North. This was another false God Baal-zephon, another false god, who was supposed to be, according to the Egyptians and others, the one who was the god of the seas and the storms. Now, think about what God is getting ready to do now. Just think about what he's getting ready to do. He is supposed to be the god of seas and storms. He's the sea god and the storm god. And think about what God is getting ready to do and see how that ties in so powerfully with where he told them to encamp just before he did what I'm getting ready to read to you. I'm telling you, God has a way of getting his point across. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. As I mentioned last week, crying out to the Lord was the right thing to do when they became terrified by the presence and the look and the might, the real might of their very real enemies. These were real enemies, human enemies, powerful human enemies, ready to destroy them in order to take them back and have them enslaved again, oppressed again, miserable again. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians.' It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Isn't that just like a lot of human beings? They cry out to God for relief from their misery. And when God sends them someone who will deliver them from their misery, who will rescue them from their misery, who will release them from their misery, and the way gets tough, they get mad at God and at the one he sent to deliver them, to rescue them, to set them free, to release them. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Some of us are getting ready to have some enemies removed. And there have been some folks who have been pursuing us who are about to leave in one way or another, for one reason or another. And they'll never trouble us again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." Notice here the teamwork. God knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows exactly what he's going to do, but notice this. He requires of the man he's working with to do something also. He did not ask Moses to turn around and just completely annihilate all the Egyptian army and the Pharaoh with just one swipe of his rod. Nope. Stretch out your rod over the sea. And God let him know that when he stretched out the rod over the sea, the water would be divided. The water, singular, would be divided so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Verse 17, "I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen." That's what he had said a little earlier, that he would gain glory through the Pharaoh and all of his army. And now he's repeating that. "The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." He still has not said exactly what he's going to do in order to gain that glory. But he did say he was going to gain it through Pharaoh and all of his army, all of his horses, all of his chariots. What do you think is going on here? We know that God knew what was going on. He just said, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. There are people who are getting ready to acknowledge that God is the Lord, because of what he's getting ready to do in order to rescue his people, to release his people. Sometimes, in fact, very often, including at the end of the age, in Revelation, when the Lord Jesus returns, very often, in order to rescue his people, God deals severely with the enemies of his people. Pride, pride, pride. So often, the enemies of God's people refuse to just let them go. It would be better if they would help them. That would be ideal. But if not helping, at least be intelligent enough to leave them alone. Pride prevents a lot of folks from just backing off and saying, you know what? I'm going to leave them alone. I'm going to leave them alone. I'm not messing with them anymore. It looks like things are getting turned up. The heat is getting turned up pretty hot here. I think it's getting to the point where I'm not going to be able to handle this. I know what happened to so-and-so. I'm aware of what happened to that one. I'm aware of what happened to those. Maybe I better back off now and leave this alone before something bad happens to me. Notice now with Pharaoh, his army, his officials, even having lost their firstborn males was not enough to bring them to the point where they would say, you know what? This is enough. We see where the line has been drawn in the sand. We've crossed it. Let's pursue no longer, ever again. Some people just cannot bring themselves to that point. And notice this. I know that God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh had hardened his own heart so many times over many years, including the numerous times that he hardened his own heart when God was telling him to let my people go. That finally it got to the point where God said, now I'm going to harden his heart. How many of you out there are going to find that God is hardening your hearts because you've hardened your heart so many times? And once God decides he's going to harden your heart, there's nothing you can do to prevent him from doing it. Once he makes up his mind he's going to harden your heart, he's going to harden your heart and have you doing things that you should not be doing. And he's going to punish you for doing it because you did not stop when you had the chance. And when he finished dealing with Pharaoh and all of his army, then the rest of the Egyptians were going to know. They were going to acknowledge, you know what? God is the Lord. The God that Moses serves is the Lord. Hopefully, for some, it won't come to that point. But I know for others, that's where it's going to be. I know human nature, and you do too. For some, that's what it's coming to.